Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the heart of the Maritimes, Sackville, New Brunswick, the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, June 14th. Coming up on today's show, we talk with Garrett Doncaster, whose parents' home on Pawnshore Road was destroyed in a suspicious fire on June 5th. Bruce Wark brings us reactions and concerns over the planned weekend overnight closure of Sackville's emergency room by Horizon Health. Levy on the Lake brought home an ECMA on Saturday in the virtual awards ceremony. Riverview High School is shut down today due to a potential threat. And the province will likely reach its first Path to Green goalpost today. But first, the COVID case update. There were 7 cases of COVID-19 in the province on Sunday, and all have been traced to previous cases. 3 of the new cases are in the Fredericton region, and 4 are in the Bathurst region. There are now 97 active cases of COVID-19 in New Brunswick, which includes 1 person isolating outside of the province. Zone 1 has had no new cases since Thursday, and now has 21 active cases of the disease. Testing numbers for Saturday reflect the typical weekend drop in testing, with just shy of 700 tests completed in the province, with 377 of those in Zone 1. In Nova Scotia, there were 8 new cases of COVID-19 reported on Sunday, and the total number of active cases in that province has further dropped to 140. The Cumberland Health Network has had no new cases for the 10th day in a row. There's just 1 active case of COVID-19 in Cumberland County. PEI reported no new cases over the weekend and has 4 active cases of COVID-19. Newfoundland and Labrador reported 1 new case on Sunday, and that case has been traced to a previous one. That province now has 35 active cases of COVID-19. New Brunswick will likely reach its goal of 75% of the eligible population with a first dose of COVID-19 vaccine by today. As of numbers reported Sunday, just 2,485 more people need to receive their first dose in order to hit the 75% target. 75% of the population aged 12 and over is roughly equal to 66% of the estimated current population of all New Brunswickers. The first stage of the Path to Green now includes lifting of isolation requirements for those traveling from Cumberland County into New Brunswick. Nova Scotia has not yet announced a similar move, so the trip into Cumberland still triggers 2 weeks of isolation in that province. It's been a busy week in the province's vaccine rollout. In the past week, over 68,000 doses of a COVID-19 vaccine were administered in the province. That's the highest number since the rollout began. But only 39,000 of those were first doses. The second dose rollout is picking up steam since it began in earnest last week, with 29,000 people getting a second dose. Just over 75,000 people have had their second dose of a vaccine in New Brunswick. That's 9.6% of the full population and 10.8% of the 12 and over population. The province has set a goal of at least 20% for those aged 12 and older with a second shot in order to reach the second phase of its Path to Green plan, which includes lifting border restrictions with all of Nova Scotia. In order to reach the third and final goal for the Path to Green plan, slated for the beginning of August, another 442,000 people need to get a second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. If that happens, the Premier has promised to lift all public health restrictions. Riverview High School is closed today due to a potential threat to students and staff. Anglophone East Acting Superintendent Kathy Grabank sent a letter to parents on Sunday saying the closure is as a result of school and district staff learning of a potential threat to the safety of RHS students and staff. On Sunday evening, the Times and Transcript reported that a 16-year-old boy had been arrested in relation to a threat made. The Kodiak RCMP have yet to issue a release with further information about the arrest, but told the Times and Transcript the boy had been released on court documents. The letter from Grabank promises a further update on the situation today. The Horizon Health Network and the provincial government have been facing a barrage of criticism over their decision to curtail overnight emergency room services at the Sackville Hospital. Starting last week, the Sackville ER will be closed evenings and overnights every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It means that patients in Sackville who need emergency services between 4 p.m. and 8 the next morning on those weekend days will have to go to other hospitals in Moncton and perhaps Amherst once the Nova Scotia border is open again. Critics in Sackville worry that the summer evening and overnight closures could be made permanent in the fall. Local journalist Bruce Wark has been looking into the story and files this report.
Hello?
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi. The address is...
A call to 911 conjures up images of trouble, big trouble. Sometimes it's a fall down steep stairs in the middle of the night with Grandpa coughing blood at the bottom. American TV news shows, especially the If It Bleeds, It Leads variety, love 911 calls. They resonate with all of us, Grandpa being rushed to the ER to bring him back from death's door. In Sackville last year, hundreds of residents staged protest rallies at the hospital when the Higgs government announced the closing of overnight emergency room services. People felt threatened. What about poor old Grandpa dying on the stairs? The protests worked. Premier Higgs backed down, and the Sackville emergency room was saved. But now, suddenly, it's threatened again.
It is simply no longer possible for us to maintain 24-hour service in the emergency department.
That message came last Friday from a serious-looking woman. Her name is Jerry Geldard, and she's a vice president at the Horizon Regional Health Network. Geldard isn't just an administrator. She's also a registered nurse with a background in children's and adult critical care in Halifax and New Orleans. It was her master's degree in health services administration from Dalhousie that qualified her for a number of executive health care positions in southern Ontario and now New Brunswick. On Friday, Jerry Geldart, Administrative Vice President Clinical at Horizon, had an unpleasant task. She had to explain to a dozen reporters online why the Sackville Emergency Room will be closed all this summer on weekends from 4 in the afternoon until 8 in the morning on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. In other words, no evening and overnight emergency room services in Sackville on weekends. Geldart blamed a chronic shortage of nurses. She said three full-time positions in the Sackville ER are now vacant, leaving the six remaining nurses to cover all the shifts. And that's been quite a strain.
In Sackville, the Sackville Memorial Hospital staff have held this service together for quite some time. They've worked extra hours. They've worked overtime. They've changed their schedules with really very limited notice. And they've done it all so that they could maintain the coverage of the service in the emergency department. But as we enter the summer, it certainly brings new challenges for us. We have to balance our responsibilities to provide health care with the need to provide our staff with a reasonable amount of vacation time. And given the past year, with all of the pressures that everybody's experienced with respect to COVID, it's even more important that we give our staff the opportunity of having a small break. So this coupled with a number of unfilled vacancies, it is simply no longer possible for us to maintain 24-hour service in the emergency department.
Geldart says Horizon is actively recruiting to fill the vacant positions and is looking at a small number of nurses who have expressed interest in working here. If all goes well and those nurses get hired, the weekend, evening, and overnight ER closures could end in September. But Jerry Geldart said she can't guarantee it right now. And that means that the 8 or 9 people who seek treatment every weekend night in the Sackville ER will have to get it in Moncton or maybe Amherst if the Nova Scotia border opens again.
I'm just like anybody else in Sackville would be extremely concerned about it.
That's Sabina Dietz, who was just elected last month to serve on Sackville Town Council.
Having an ER is a crucial part of the services we have in town, the health services. And to me, having used the ER on multiple occasions when the family doctor is not available, it's an absolutely must. And we've had some really serious incidences where not having an ER having to travel to Moncton or to Amherst if the border opens to Amherst. That's quite a chore.
Sabina Dietz says having an emergency room at the Sackville Hospital is crucial. Full health care services attract businesses, new residents, and medical staff, she says, and a fully functioning emergency room is also crucial for Mount Allison University students. For Counselor Dietz, these weekend ER closures point to deeper problems. She points out that New Brunswick nurses are working under a labor contract that expired 3 years ago. And their union president says they're the lowest paid nurses in Canada. Dietz says lack of recruitment and training have led to the inevitable nursing shortages that are now being used as an excuse to cut emergency services.
I seem to recall over the last month, the health minister has talked about hiring nurses, wanting to hire nurses with open arms anytime somebody comes. Yeah, the way I understand it, the nurses currently don't have a contract, and I haven't really seen any active recruitment. So I'm not exactly sure what the problem is there. To me, this is more of a government problem, and Horizon Health needs to be more actively recruiting, and training needs to happen. And we knew that training was a problem in the province. We've known that for a long time. So are we surprised with all of a sudden having shortages?
Sabina Dietz adds, we just can't let this go quietly. We're going to have to fight these cuts in service. Pat Esterbrooks wholeheartedly agrees. The former mayor of Sackville is also the current chair of the Sackville Hospital Foundation, which raises money for new equipment. Esterbrooks says she fears these weekend ER closures could be just a test run for permanent cuts. During our phone interview on Saturday, she said that the ad hoc town health committee she serves on will be getting in touch with Horizon and organizing another protest rally.
The other thing that I'm trying to do is to get a letter off to Horizons, but also I think it's time to have a public reaction to this too. In person, so that, you know, I think we need a rally again and just say we're not going to stand for this, you know. So that's a way to get Horizons to stand up and look. I think they think we're all asleep now.
So you're planning to hold a rally.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, you know, and let Horizons know that we're not going to stand for this, you know. And you have to have public support. The other thing is I'm in the midst of a campaign, or we're in the midst of a campaign to provide equipment for the day surgery, which was our goal was $200,000. Now we've reached $150,000 easily. But, I mean, when they hear things like this, people are not going to donate. You know, they're just going to say the hospital's going to close or the services are going to be cut and.
So you have raised $150,000.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Wow, that's something. So that's what I learned when I was, you know, in February 2020, at those big rallies at the hospital. I was amazed at the turnout.
Yeah.
That there is really a lot of support here.
Yeah.
For the hospital.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can sit on high and make all of these decisions, and I think the other thing I want to say, I realize that both nurses and doctors have had a rough year, because it has been, and a lot of them are very tired and they need vacations, and I understand all of those things, but I think they've had sufficient time to look at the situation here at our hospital and do the replacements that are needed for nursing staff.
Those are the sounds of a busy emergency room, but on YouTube, not in Sackville. Here, the ER is bound to sound pretty silent this summer between 4 every afternoon and 8 the next morning on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Provincial Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd told the New Brunswick Legislature on Friday that Sackville's weekend ER silence will only be temporary. Former Mayor Pat Esterbrooks and Councillor Sabina Dietz aren't so sure, but judging from what they're saying, they'll be fighting to hold the minister to her word. For CHMA News, this is Bruce Wark reporting.
Many thanks to Bruce Work for that report. The home of Brian and Marlene Doncaster was completely destroyed by fire last Saturday in what police are investigating as arson. The couple was at home asleep when a crash woke up Marlene and she discovered her living room ablaze. The couple escaped uninjured, though Brian went to hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation. Brian and Marlene's son, Garrett, spoke to CHMA on Friday to tell us about what happened and put out a call for information on the fire. Garrett Doncaster says his parents have been touched by the outpouring of support from the community, but after the arson, they don't feel safe. I started off asking Garrett Doncaster to recount what happened on June 5th.
Well, Saturday morning, Mom woke up to a smash, a loud crash about 5 in the morning, and left her bedroom and see the living room all on fire. She and Dad, she woke Dad up, and they evacuated the house. Dad went down and got a hold of a fireman down the road and sent him for the fire truck, and he came back and managed to get his pickup truck out of the garage. And by that time, the house was pretty well gone. The fire department showed up. Two other fire departments actually responded as well. So Sackville Fire Department, Point of Butte, and Dorchester. And they managed to save the garage adjacent to the house, so that was really good.
Yeah, but the house was completely destroyed.
Yeah, the house is flat. Yeah.
Were they hurt? Were they okay?
Yeah, no, they're okay. Dad had to go down to the hospital for some smoke inhalation.
Okay.
But yeah, physically everybody's fine. Mentally, you know, it's awful hard. You know, somebody.
Yes.
You know, if you're convinced somebody's trying to kill you, and they're not being unreasonable in thinking that, probably.
Right. Yeah. So they went to the hospital, got the all clear, but they're still quite worried right now because of the suspicious nature of the fire, and I guess they don't feel safe.
No, yes, that's right. They don't feel safe. And really, they probably aren't safe.
Have you heard anything else from the police letting you know what they know so far?
No, haven't heard too much out of them. It's really tough for them. I feel bad for the police because they're so badly understaffed in this area, and have been for a long time. The individual boots on the ground, the individual police officers are doing their absolute best, but they just don't have time to do much investigation when they're going from call to call constantly, you know.
Mm-hmm. So now, and you put out a post on Facebook recently that was thanking people for reaching out with offers of support and help, you know, in that time of crisis for your parents. And you also were asking people to share information to help the investigation along.
Yep, that's right. We really, you know, first of all, got to thank the whole community. It's just unbelievable how great everyone's been, the offers of clothing and support and money and just, you know, people with maybe empty houses offering for mom and dad to live there rent-free, and, you know, just, it's just unbelievable. Anything that you know, people could think of to provide, they've offered it, and just, you know, shows you how great, you know, the most of the community is. It's kind of a bright spot in a dark time, I guess.
Right. It's one of those things that sometimes you don't really realize how supportive the community can be until a crisis or something terrible like this happens.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to live in a community. I mean, it's probably more than we ever deserve, really, to live in a community this great. That being said, the second part of the post, we are looking for information. Obviously, you know, this is a suspicious fire. And it's not the first one. There's a home across the road that it burnt on May 3rd. It was considered suspicious as well. And my parents woke up on May 13th and discovered somebody had tried to set their deck on fire on the early morning of May 13th as well. So, they've had their truck vandalized as well. Dad has in the middle of the night. So.
So on May 13th, their deck, there was a fire set on their deck.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, it was raining that night, and it didn't take, thank God. But, they tried again. Mm-hmm. Whoever did this tried again and succeeded this time, burned the house down.
And did you call the police on the 13th as well?
That was reported, yeah. Dad did, yeah.
Okay, all right. You're asking for information. Anyone that has heard anything or saw anything around any of those dates, May 13th and also Saturday.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. Anybody that saw anything around Upper Sackville or heard anything or might be able to provide any information because, this is more than just a theft or a, break and enter or something like that. This is people's lives at stake, it's way too serious. It's just something that we never thought we'd ever have to deal with around here.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm sure people are concerned for your parents. Will they have insurance that will, is that process in and they will be able to, at least be taken care of in terms of replacing their home and that sort of thing?
Yeah, the home was insured, everything's fine that way. They're going to replace the home at some point, I guess. They met with insurance. I think they got everything all squared away that way.
Okay.
Which is why I also asked for, I know a lot of people want to make monetary donations. We'd really appreciate it if they made those donations to the fire departments, if they could.
Right, and that's Sackville or Pointe Butte or Dorchester.
That's right, yep.
All right, yep. Well, Garrett, we appreciate you telling us about this today, and best of luck to your parents. Our condolences on the loss of their home.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Appreciate it.
That was Garrett Doncaster, son of Brian and Marlene Doncaster, whose home was destroyed in a suspicious fire being investigated by the RCMP. The East Coast Music Awards got handed out in virtual events Thursday and Saturday nights, and there's a local Sackville winner.
The ECMA goes to Levy on the Lake.
Levy on the Lake won Event of the Year for last year's multiple weekend concerts on the shores of Silver Lake, where the audience was invited to paddle or float in to listen. The ECMAs were handed out virtually online, so naturally, event organizers Shelley Chase and Stacey Reed took to Facebook with their acceptance speech. Here they are on the shores of Silver Lake.
I'm Shelley and this is Stacey, and we just want to say a big thanks. We're the creators of Levy on the Lake here in Sackville, New Brunswick, on gorgeous Silver Lake, and we just want to thank all the voting members of the East Coast Music Association for this incredible award, especially in a year where we really didn't know what was going to happen.
A big thank you to our board of directors, Susan McCarthy, Tracy Hull, and Krista Arsenault. Obviously, this would not have been possible without you guys, so thank you for believing in our project, the Intangible Culture and Heritage Council of New Brunswick, and a big thank you to our sound production companies as well, SSI out of Moncton and Gem Productions. Obviously, without you guys jumping on board and believing in what we were doing this summer, this event wouldn't have taken place, so big thanks.
We believe that live music has to stay live, and we will do everything that we can to continue to put live stages up and have live entertainers and sound crews and managers and agents and everyone working live through the rest of this pandemic and post-pandemic recovery. So we really want to thank the sponsors, Atlantic Lottery Corporation, the Town of Sackville, the Government of New Brunswick, Warner Records,
RBC,
Royal Bank of Canada,
Compact Appliances,
Compact Appliances. And just everyone who came up and took a chance on us, a new event that they really didn't know what was going to happen. What happened is we put live music on this lake, and we're going to do it again in 2021. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Shelley Chase and Stacey Reed, producers of Levy on the Lake, which is now run by a not-for-profit organization, the Intangible Culture and Heritage Society. Levy on the Lake is coming back for 2021, with plans to move the event to Lilas Fawcett Park and partner with the Sackville Triathlon. The Levy is planned for Thursday, August 19th through Sunday, August 22nd, with the triathlon happening the morning of Saturday, August 21st. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Monday, June 14th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.